you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's there. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, January 22nd, 2017. And I'm going to tell a little story before I introduce these two special guests on today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. But before I begin with that story, just to highlight, we sent out over 500 of our newsletters to those of you that gave to us in 2017. So hopefully you're reading up some of the various ways that God is using this radio ministry to touch lives. And I've been very excited by the feedback that people appreciate the Prime Life Times or Singing with the Singing Men or being a part of the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. The conversational English class continues to grow, and a number of the people that attend that are playing ping pong, and we'll talk a little more about that, and you'll see about the ping pong ministry that I feel God is having us be a part of. We announce our 2018 trip to Israel this October 3rd through the 13th. So we're going to have a couple meetings to share what you can expect if you join us on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land this coming October. A lot of other nice photographs and fun things. If you haven't received that newsletter, request it. Just call in 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777. We'll be happy to mail it out. And if you make a donation, any donation of any size, we'll send you the It's a Wonderful Life CD produced by the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. Almost 50 local cast members, and getting a lot of great feedback from those that listen to it over the air or have received the CD and are enjoying it. So make a donation, request the CD, and we'll be happy to send that out. Well, let's see, if I take you back about 7 or 8 months ago, probably about 9 months ago, when I started to get an interest in playing ping pong, and we had a ping pong table in our garage, but Holly and I only played probably a dozen times, and I think I shared this story some weeks back, that I didn't know for the first year when I played Holly, she was sandbagging me. She thought to respect me and honor me, she would lose every time, and so I never realized till we brought the table here to Lincoln Square and started seeing her play with other people, I thought, you know, she's a lot better. And I said, Holly, have you been letting me win? And she goes, well, you know, and she said, well, the Chinese way is you save face. You don't ever want to beat anyone too much. You always keep the score kind of close. And so she said, that's what I always did. And then when we got close to the end, I'd let you win. And I was like, ah. So anyways, that was a realization I had some months back. But as my interest in ping pong grew, I thought, why don't we put on a tournament here at Lincoln Square? Because some of the English conversation learners, they had an interest in ping pong. And there was one guy, his name is, it's close to, I don't know if I pronounce it properly, but Sian. But he's just a phenomenal player. So every so often he'd bring his paddle and we'd play before class. And I thought, this is the best ping pong player I've ever seen in my entire life. Those of you that watch that Forrest Gump movie, you see Forrest Gump playing and he's like off the charts good and he's using two paddles and he's hitting every single ball. And I thought, okay, I'm going to hold the tournament and he's for sure going to be number one because I don't know anyone any better. All right, so we get the announcement out. We said, hey, we're going to have this tournament. That was about 7-8 months ago. And so these three white guys show up. I think of the 26 that participated, probably about 20, 22 of them were Asian. I think there was a Russian gal, and that's a whole other story. But then these three white guys show up. I could say white guy because I'm a white guy. But I started watching them and thinking, hey, these guys are really good. In fact, these guys are like off the charts good. It's going to be interesting to see who wins with all these wonderful players. And so I didn't even play. I wasn't even at the lower tier compared to all these 26 players, but it was a lot of fun. And so we had a good time. We had refreshments and it ended up being these three guys from the Champaign County Table Tennis Club, CCTTC, the Champaign County Table Tennis Club. And all three of these guys not only were around my age or a few years older, so basically about 56 to 63. How old are you, Robert?
I was 65 then.
65 then. So
66 now.
66 now. anyways, they were the top three, and then my one friend, the student, he was number four. Anyways, I'll just say that I began a relationship with these guys and then find out that all of the three top players are all believers, followers of Jesus. And so the two guests in the studio with me today, after playing on Saturday and helping me build the new table and putting it out there, is Phil McGarvey, who's a chaplain at Carl, but I think the chief chaplain, right? You oversee the pastoral ministry care unit there at Carl. So how many pastors?
I manage three full-time chaplains and then seven other PRN as-needed chaplains to help us with the on-call coverage.
Okay, and I had heard about you because you were an interim pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church of Bahamut before Pastor Jason.
Right.
And I think you preached right up until when they brought him in.
They were just calling him as pastor, and there was a transition for him to prepare to move. When he moved, and we transitioned out of there. So
okay, that was about 7 years ago, right?
2011. So
okay.
Yeah, that was
seven years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. And then Robert Hemingway. Any relations to the famous Hemingways?
Maybe.
Maybe.
But it would be pretty far back, though.
Far back. You farm in the... I know you're south.
Farm in Douglas County with my two sons. I'm officially retired, but I tell people I work the same number of hours. I just don't get paid anymore.
Yes. And your sons have taken on the farm and the... How many acres?
We farm 1,200 acres.
1,200.
And we do some farm drainage work and earth moving type things and stuff like that. But we have a real good time. It's interesting working for my son.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
sure. That's my day job. The late afternoon and the evening job and first day of the week job as a part-time minister at the Kemp Church of Christ, along with a young man named Alex Swango, who currently lives in Mattoon. But I think his wife is originally from the Urbana area. Anyway, we share the responsibilities there at the church. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there something with ping pong and being a follower of Jesus? Because I know, like, Bryant Evans, in fact, he was the number one player. Now, the listeners are going to be saying, oh, is Mark going to get on the whole ping pong thing? Because when I get excited about racquetball, I talk about racquetball. It's the singing men. I talk about the singing men. Of late, I've been talking about some ping pong, but Bryant was the number one player at the tournament. Oh, I guess a lot of you could be number one at any given day because you're all pretty close.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of ping pong, yes, we're pretty close.
And this isn't false humility, but we consider ourselves pretty average.
Yeah, when you compare to what you've seen in the world. Though.
Yes, right.
But you would be probably the top three or four players in the area.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends on...
Robert and Bryant are probably... I'm in the middle of the club, and Robert and Bryant are kind of at the top, but there are players that are equal.
Yeah. I think this past Saturday you were here at Lincoln Square playing, and there were three or four other Asians visiting scholars or maybe some. I know one said it was the first time he had played, and he looked like he has great potential to be
a really good player.
He's a really good player. He had just moved here from overseas, and this is the first time he had a chance to play on U.S. soil.
Yeah.
So. I had told my sons whenever they were growing up and I was teaching them ping pong to beware of anyone who's crossed an ocean to get a chance to play you in ping pong.
Yeah. Well, I think you had said, whether it was during your college days or at some point, you were a decent player. I mean, you could hold your own. And you started thinking, you know, I'm a pretty good player here until you were in like a tournament. Tell us the story about the guy from China.
This guy was from Canton, China. And at that time, we were playing games to 21. He beat me like 21-5 and 21-7. And we were representing our different colleges. And I went up, shook his hand afterwards. I said, you are by far the best player I've ever played. And he kind of laughed.
Because up to that point, you were a pretty good player. You'd win most of the tournaments.
Generally, I was number two at my university, and you know, I was winning tournaments here and there. And this guy just mopped the floor with me. And I complimented him, and he laughed. He couldn't help it. And I kind of was taken aback, and he apologized just immediately, you know, how the Asians would do, so polite. He said, I'm sorry, but he said, what you don't understand, at the high school that I went, there were like 5,000 students, and I was one of the weaker players there. And I did the math. At that time, probably China was maybe a half a billion people. I'm like, I'm never going to be good at this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I never forgotten that lesson.
Yeah, it's like everything's relative you know, I would say to most Americans, I'm okay. I mean, I'm a decent player, but when I make any comparisons to those that I played or you guys, it's like, I am like way down here. here, and they're way up here, and I just want to be competitive enough so it's interesting or fun for them to volley with me, not even necessarily keep score because, you know, I don't know if I'll ever get that good, but I want to be good enough so it's fun to play with me.
Well, where the opponent isn't dozing off in the middle of the match
whatever. Well, I shared, I think, a month or two back now. She should be at the conversational English class this coming Thursday. She's a visiting scholar. She had only been in the country a couple weeks. Now, this is 2 months removed now. And I said, does anyone play ping pong? That's one of the first things I say in the English conversation class. Because in America, we look at the sports page and there's baseball scores. In China, they have like the ping pong scores. And so most Chinese have played to some degree or, you know, it's very common. It's as common as kids shooting basketball or playing soccer. Well, anyway, this gal said, yeah, I've played a lot and I've taught some people. And I said, well, after class, can you hang around? And so she was so good. She's holding up the phone, volleying with me the whole time, videoing me so she can point out my mistakes. She said, oh, you got to change your shoulder. Oh, you're not standing right. You got to do this. But she was volleying along, you know, and I'm hitting it pretty hard. And she's just holding the phone, didn't even like miss a beat. And so I'm looking forward to this Thursday and getting another hour with her. But it's very common to play and to be very good. But it's great exercise, and I think I mentioned in the newsletter, come out for some exercise, both spiritual and recreational and fun. But to redeem this program, can you share a little of some of your faith journey? We'll start with you, Robert. How did you get to the point to being a follower of Jesus? Was it because you grew up in a family that took you to church, or was there a youth pastor, or what is some of that journey?
About the same time that my father and my mother, and they were very instrumental in my faith journey as far as that
kind of modeling Christianity.
Yes, absolutely. Home. My dad wasn't real talkative about it. He was kind of typical American farmer father. But
old school.
Yeah. But about the time that he was teaching me how to play ping pong, I got my eyes open from some of the different preachers that we had at our church and saw that I wanted to commit my life to Jesus. Probably about the time that I was 16, I was baptized at a local church. It was always a watershed moment, no pun intended, but in my life. And then when I graduated from Arcola High School, then I went to Freed Hardeman College at that time, which was a junior college then, and didn't know what I was going to major in, but ended up majoring in biblical studies there at Harding University in Searcy, Arkansas.
So you've grown up in Illinois most of your life or stayed in this area?
Yeah, after college, then after me and my wife both had our degrees, then we'd kind of work part-time and then came back and started on the family farm with my dad.
And where did you meet this beloved, and what was maybe one of the first two or three things that drew you to her?
She's going to kill me when I mention this, but we met at Freed Hardeman, and I've always had a weakness for a good set of ankles.
She was a skater?
And I saw that this girl walk through, and I was sitting next to my best friend. I said, who is that? And he said, I think her name is Pam, and I've been in a business class with her. And I said, you know anything about her? And he said, she's nice. She's pretty quiet. So I took to pursuing her for about the next 4 or 5 years of her life. I've been pursuing her ever since.
And I know this past Saturday you were showing me photos of the grandkids and your family, and she was in many of the photographs.
Our grandkids are better than average.
Yes.
they're above average.
Sure, sure. Now, Phil, you obviously serve at Carl as a chaplain.
I'm also the worship associate pastor over at Pennsylvania Avenue Baptist Church.
Oh, okay.
And so I've been there for a couple of years. Been at Carl for about 15 years. So.
15 years.
Yeah.
And what's some of your faith journey? What got you to this point?
Well, my dad was a pastor. Mm-hmm. So a pastor's home that was a positive pastor's home. Not all pastor's homes were positive pastor's homes. So I saw the ministry from that perspective. But I have two different stories about my salvation experience. One is from my mom, who is sure that she led all of her children to Christ when we were all about 5, 6, 7 years old. I'm sure that happened, but I don't remember it as clearly.
Sure.
And then later in vacation Bible school, I was like an 8-year-old going on 9. Yeah. And I remember feeling like I knew what the gospel was at that point, and I hadn't made a decision. I was kind of waiting for some sort of moment. And the vacation Bible school department teacher said, if you want to make a decision, stay behind. And 3 or 4 of us stayed behind, and she led us through that. And then there was growth, and then what got me into, I think, probably the most unusual, I was always a fan of geography and Teen Missions International. I signed up with them when I was 16 years old, and that was one of their first 5 years of recruits to go on a teen missions trip, and that was back in the 70s. So that was kind of unusual back then, and I got the chance to raise support, see people, see needs met, and my life was changed, and that was kind of my call to ministry and that whole journey.
Now, when did Patty come into your life?
Patty's mom and dad, they started coming to the church that my dad was pastoring.
Sure.
And as a 17-year-old girl, she became the church choir pianist.
Okay.
And I was a music lover. And this story has something to do with ping pong, believe it or not.
Yeah, we got to go full circle.
Right. All of our stories revolve around ping pong.
Right. But her dad eventually became one of the head elders of the church, serving alongside my dad, who was the pastor. And so one of the things her dad was famous for in that church was he was the best ping pong player in the church. And I'll never forget, I started pursuing Patty because she was a wonderful pianist. I always thought, if I marry a woman, I want someone to share my love of music.
Sure, sure.
Ping pong didn't hurt either.
But, now, you had grown up playing competitively with your brothers, right?
Right.
Okay,
right.
I think I remember you telling me this story.
Yeah, the best Christmas gift my parents ever gave us was a ping pong table when I was 11 years old. My brother was 10, and we never stopped playing.
Yeah.
So Patty and I met, and we started dating, and then we had to break up because my parents moved to far away before I went to college. And the Lord led us back together about 3 or 4 years later, and it's a wonderful story of God's grace, just doing great work.
And not to put you on the spot in front of our 10,000-plus listeners, but besides the music and maybe being attracted to her, what characteristic of Patty or something that you thank God constantly for as the helpmeet that she's become or is?
Well, she's an inspiration to anyone that she's around, including me, especially me. She literally lights a room up if she's there participating in the conversation or whatever. But also her passion for the gospel and also for people. She's a teacher. She's a piano teacher. And a side benefit that I didn't expect, because at that time she was young, I didn't know she was going to be a great cook, but she has served us well, not just in how good she cooks, but how she likes to host. And we get to invite people over, and it's a blessing to share God's love with other people.
Now, do you remember the day that you beat her dad in ping pong?
It wasn't.
Or did he have to lose to him to get her hand in marriage?
Her dad and I, we had a church ping pong tournament because we had so many good players in our church. And her dad won the tournament, and I was in the semifinals against him.
Okay.
And you lost on purpose.
And I did not lose on purpose. At that time, I wasn't even dating her.
Sure, sure.
So I just was trying to beat her dad. So.
Yeah.
But I don't remember.
The specific day.
Once we were married and I would play him, I was beating him. But that was after my college career and as he was aging in his 60s.
Sure,
so
sure.
I was a little better.
Well, Robert, you give me hope being 66. That gives me a lot of years to improve and get better. And you and I have had some conversations about using ping pong. And I know some of our listeners are like, oh, gosh, this whole program is about ping pong. But using it as a vehicle or a tool or a mechanism or a means to reach out and love on others and build that relationship. And then hopefully it can turn into maybe spiritual conversation or like an evangelistic outreach. Tell me a little about how you were summarizing that.
Ever since my college days, and maybe it might have been some kind of rationalization or self-defense in conversation with my wife at that time, that the time investment had some other value than just my enjoyment. But I believed in the possibility of ping pong evangelism of some sort to basically be a ministry. At the very least, I have found it as being an excellent way to broaden your horizons and meet people from a lot of different continents and accents and skin color and whatnot. And as a group, I've found table tennis players to be just very kind, and even when they're beating you, they're just really nice people as a group. And I've enjoyed that, and I think there's just a lot of opportunity there in regard to reaching people that haven't had an encounter Jesus and you know, maybe be a possibility possibility of being in his hands and feet and making contact with people that had otherwise never have been around Christians, and maybe in a positive way.
Yeah, that's what I have found with the racquetball, and that's one of my desires at the time is to get really good at racquetball so people want to play you, and you know, you're courteous, you're kind, you don't have foul language when you're on the court, and they kind of recognize there's a difference, and I'm trying to transition with your help to make me better so it's worthwhile to play against me or with me. And for our listeners, I guess the lessons for today, whatever your expertise or gift sets or skills may be, maybe you're a carpenter and you can use those to bring glory to the Lord and help others, or maybe it's a sport, or maybe it's cooking, or maybe it's some other gifts. Use those and ask God to bring people alongside you, maybe with those same interests or abilities, and you know, get proficient at it, build those relationships, and when it's right and maybe God signals that this is a time to go deeper, then share some of your walk or your faith journey. So hopefully there's a takeaway for all of us.
One of the things that, you know, back to ping pong and marriage, one of the things that in ping pong, racquetball, or tennis, you have to learn to serve.
Oh, that's good. That'll preach. Yeah.
And the service in ping pong is to make the other person make a mistake. The service in marriage is to encourage.
Yeah, and lift
so
up.
That, so in a way, serving in marriage is not against each other. Serving in marriage is more about a doubles event where you're serving with each other.
Oh, that'll preach. Mm-hmm. I got to write that down when I have to give a little message and bring ping pong into it. All right, everyone. The gauntlet's being dropped. Be a servant today. Be skillful in the things that you do. What's that? Colossians chapter 3 verse. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. And so use those gifts that he's given you to further kingdom causes. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Brother.